A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
Did you ever read the comics? You know, Superman, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man, Dick Tracy, my personal favorite. Maybe so. But have you ever read a comic book series in the form of a graphic novel with the Chickaloon Tribe superhero kids? Well, hang on to your markers. You are today. It's a story in the far-off future. With two Alaska Native best friends, the Glowberries have been stolen and their world plunged into perpetual darkness. And their mission? To save the village and become the greatest storytellers ever. Only it's even better than that. I'm Emily Forstner, your host today. You know, there's a quote from Ira Glass of This American Life podcast that I just love. Great stories happen to the people who tell them. And so it is for today's episode. It's a great story of two unlikely cartoon artists who share the ancient teachings of the Chickaloon tribe in South Central Alaska in a most unique and creative way. We call it The Storytellers, a tale of two friends, a dream, and a grandma.
My name is Demi Maharis.
And my name is Casey Silver.
I meet up with Demi and Casey at the Wasilla Library. They're getting ready to present a workshop on comic art just minutes after finishing a teacher training at Kinnick Charter School. Casey and Demi are an unlikely duo. Casey's a smaller, wired terrier-type character with spiked hair and a tattoo sleeve. He grew up in Rhode Island, and it's hard to imagine when you meet him now, but he was a lonely kid, and comics were his lifeline. Demi, on the other hand, is more of a big Chesapeake Bay retriever look, dressed in a Hawaiian shirt, and he grew up just about as different and far away from Newport, Rhode Island as one can get. Surrounded with mountains and rivers and lots of family, 32 miles to the east of Palmer, in the village of Chickaloon. Population? Around 300, give or take. You can Google the village, but know that the Chickaloon tribe and the Chickaloon people aren't limited to this distinct geographic boundary. And it is today that together they are successful comic artists and storytellers. But like all stories, it wasn't always like that.
When COVID happened, we hadn't made anything for a little while. I was apprenticing under one of our friends in Seattle who makes comics, and I was doing professional comic work, and Demi was landscaping. And Demi hurt his back. I'm like, dude, you're too talented to be, like, raking up leaves and cutting stuff. We got to do something, you know? And that was when he suggested that we do something with his heritage, you know, with the stories and things like that. And I have known Demi for a while at this time, but he never really talked about it. You know, it wasn't something that, you know, I knew much about. And so it was just like, yeah, I'm down, you know, but he, like, just like he said, you know, we got to make sure we do this correctly. It was interesting is after he told me this, and this is only the second time in life that this has happened to me, I went to bed and I dreamed up a story. And I woke up in the morning and we had the outline of what it would be.
I ask you, what would you call a comic series rooted in the values of the Chickaloon tribe?
And I told Casey if we're going to do Chickaloonies.
Duh, the Chickaloonies. Why didn't we think of that?
So if we're going to do a story or do a comic book that has to do with my Athabascan heritage in Alaska, I was like, there's a lot of power up here. There's a lot of energy, and there's a lot of doors that were open because of what my mom had done for many, many years. And I said, we have to take this very seriously. Do this with our best intentions and the best way forward. What would Grandma think? What would Grandma do? And that's been our guiding light ever since. And, you know, it's never led us astray.
Demi's the son of Patricia Wade and the grandson of Katie Wade. Katie was the matriarch and clan grandmother of the Chickaloon tribe, and indeed, it can be said that the language and the stories of the Chickaloon wouldn't be here without the efforts of Katie Wade.
This is very true. She really made an effort with me and my cousins and my brothers to to embrace our culture and our heritage, and taught us the songs and made us regalia, and we were part of the Yanni Da'a school, you know, the drumming troupe, and we would go, you know, to gatherings and powwows and drum and dance. Even if we were scared or embarrassed to, she told us to do it. And she was afraid that it kind of skipped a generation. The generation before me had a real tough time, I think. And she was our clan elder, our village elder, knowledge bearer. And most importantly, she was an amazing storyteller. And some of my very first memories, and I'm sure I'm speaking for many of my cousins and brothers when I say this, were hearing stories told to us by Grandma. And she would tell us Yanni Da'a stories, which have been passed down from generation to generation, all the way down to us. And what Yanni Da'a means is ancient teachings. That's what it translates to. So these stories were meant to teach us. Grandma was really special, and she taught us all to be very aware and proud of our heritage and our culture, and ever since we could remember, you know, to not lose sight of that. So, yeah, very blessed to have, you know, had that experience at a very young age.
Katie Wade created the Yanni Da'a School in 1992 and started in the old cultural center, which before that was a little burger drive-thru she ran. And along with schoolwork, kids learned about the Chickaloon culture, their dances, and with the language, their stories.
When I was 11 years old and Grandma started the Yanni Da'a School.
Just as a side note, you might be interested to know that the school operates separately from the Mat-Su School District, and it scores higher than other Native American schools. The Yanni Da'a School has received national recognition and serves as a model for schools across the U.S.
And I went to that school for the first couple years. We actually made comic books together. And we would turn the Yanni Da'a stories that she told into little comics. It was my first collaboration, was with Grandma. And I didn't really realize they were comics at the time. It was just, you know, drawing pictures and we put the words with them. And I discovered actual comic books. I became obsessed with them. I would collect them and practice drawing like them. But I would guess you could say if you wound back the clock, it would be when I was younger and sitting with Grandma at the table and turning the Yanni Da'a stories into little comics. I think what the real desire was I wanted to tell stories. I'd always loved drawing. I'd loved drawing pictures. But looking back, I felt that what it really was that I wanted to do was tell stories.
We have to back up now to the year 2008, way before the Chickalonies ever took shape. Imagine this. Casey's working at Xanadu Comics on 3rd Avenue in downtown Seattle, and Demi's working for the Chickaloon tribe illustrating the Yanni Da'a stories. But Demi wants to go pro, and there's not a lot of that going on in Chickaloon, so he moves to Seattle and stops in a Xanadu one day, and he asks, would anyone be interested in collaborating with a guy from Alaska as a comic artist?
I sent him away. I didn't tell him that I did that. He came back a couple of weeks later, said he couldn't find anybody. And sometimes the universe speaks and you have to listen. And we realized that what I lacked, he had, and what he might lack somewhat, I have. And we were able to create this partnership that, you know, I'm an only child, and because of it, I found a brother.
He introduced me to a lot of people in Seattle, because there's quite a few comic professionals in Seattle. And they would congregate at this awesome studio in Chinatown that was rented.
This is an unforgettable experience.
So we were kind of like the little kids almost hanging out with the big dogs, which was always fine with me. We learned so much there, and they still teach us. These are great people to know.
It's about then when a friend of a friend who works at Nickelodeon, for goodness sakes, and the Ninja Turtles on top of that, is looking for a storyboard artist. So Casey and Demi send in a portfolio, and they wait and they wait until, well, you can guess.
He says it's good. There's nothing wrong. I mean, the art's good. It's about 80% there. We're going with somebody else. And that became kind of an ongoing joke. And, you know, always kind of joking us, telling us that any failure that we faced or whatever was just because, you know, we're about 80% there. So when we made our first comic book, which was called Gutter Town, which was a cyberpunk futuristic vision of Seattle, and we were going to self-publish our first issue, we had to kind of label it with something. You know, who are we? Who made this comic? And we came up with the name 80% Studios, just to lean into it, own it.
And there you have it. Casey and Demi, 80% Studios.
But it's really like an awesome kind of mantra that we use to stay humble, you know, at 80%. And we're hungry. We're not quite 100%, but I can see that 100% in sight. And it just sort of, you know, it's kind of punk rock. And that's fits our aesthetic. It fits our style.
It gets to be 2020. Xanadu Comics has to close after 42 years. It's a tough time. On a whim, Demi doodles out two new characters in the back of one of their comics. And there we are. We're back. Remember? The dream. One of the characters is a small, energetic guy.
Mr. Yelly?
Mr. Yelly.
Yes. Okay.
And the other, a much larger, quieter, gentler soul.
And Sasquatch, middle initial E with a period, and then Moji is the last name. Sasquatch Emoji.
So like an emoji,
right.
But Sasquatch E.
Emoji.
And Sasquatch Emoji speaks only in emojis. And then Mr. Yelly speaks at great lengths. At all times, whether you want him to or not. We just kind of continued from there, and it's been something where every step of the way, as Demi said, the path has revealed itself, and we're less creating this and more guiding this thing, almost like the best way that you can guide a river. You know, you put a couple of stones in there, and it's like, well, it might go left, it might go right, but it's something to where it's been very powerful, and our lives have really changed ever since then. It was the first time that we made something that really connected with a lot of people.
Having a partnership with Casey, meeting Casey back when we did, and being able to work together, have somebody that's just insane enough to sit in the living room inside on a nice sunny day in front of computer screens, coloring, learning how to letter, learning how to do word balloons. It was like I would never trade that for the world. There was a moment when we were going to do our first book tour when we were like, we have some signings lined up in Anchorage. And, you know, this is one of those questions, what would grandma do? And it was like, we're not going to go and like sit at a table and have people line up and sign a book. I said, there's a story to be told here. And mom would have told a story. Grandma would have told a story. I said, I'm not a storyteller, Casey, but you can tell a story. So I did the animation, I created a costume, and we rehearsed it, and we did this live story. It was not too long after that. Casey told me that I'm a storyteller, and he said that he's a storyteller. I know he's a storyteller, but our dynamic changed from, well, he's the storyteller, I'm the guy that does the pictures, to I'm a third generation storyteller, and I may not share my story how it was traditionally shared, but through Casey, through our collaboration, I'm able to now like express my story and like embrace my storyteller. That's what's changed with me, I think.
From these two main characters, they come up with the idea of Chickaloonies.
But also world building is something we both love.
And they start to draw out a new world. It's a new world with adventure, intrigue, but it's guided with long ago values.
And Alaska is a magical place, as I'm sure you know. And growing up where I did, you know, on grandma's property out in Chickaloon as a kid, winter, going sledding, exploring around in the woods. Summer, running around in the woods with sticks with my cousins. I wanted that energy. I wanted that world to be the world of Chickaloonies. And a lot of the conversations we had prior to actually putting pen to paper were about what would this world be? What were the rules of this world? What did we want to accomplish? We didn't want to retell old stories. The stories that I illustrated when I worked for the village, when I, you know, the grandma told me, those really kind of opened a lot of doors for me to pursue art for a career as an adult. And those are very special, and those are very, you know, those things belong to our family. And so it wasn't something where I told Casey, yo, there's these Yanni Da'a tales that we can turn into comic books. It wasn't that. It was, there's these stories that have meaning, and they teach us the ancient teachings. And those stories teach us still to this day. They're just as relevant to this day. So what if we created a world inspired by these stories and came up with new Yanni Da'a legends that helped make sense and tell the origins and explain what the world is? And how would we kind of tell these stories? Would be storytellers. And that's kind of where we came up with the idea for the characters. And it's like they appeared to us. Is this it's too good of an idea for us to have come up with.
Yeah.
We're not that good.
Yeah, we're not that. We just listened when the universe spoke.
Yeah. The first book is called First Frost.
It's a futuristic world with only darkness since the glowberries disappeared, and Yelly and Moji must save the village. Armed with a sacred pouch, a magical snack pack, high-tech snow goggles, and Boba, Star Wars R2-D2-like snow machine, they set out to become the greatest storytellers ever, guided by their ever-cool grandma.
So she is the village elder, and she is the master storyteller. And she's kind of their guiding light, their mentor, and you know, encourages them because they want to be great storytellers using their powers of words. Moji using the power of pictures, Yelly using the power of words. That when they tell it, it's kind of through their eyes, and then it becomes very epic, and they're like superheroes, and they have, you know, they're like super buff, and they're, you know, and Grandma encourages this. It's very specific values, you know. You respect your elders. Elders are very important. And when an elder's speaking, you listen, for instance. And this is something where in Chickaloonies, the elders are the badasses, you know?
Yeah.
And we really try hard to write Moji and Yelly so that they're not know-it-alls or they're not perfect, but at the end of the day, they're very respectful. And they're very respectful listeners, and if a storyteller is telling a story, you listen.
So we brought it all the way back through technology, back to the campfire, back to before Grandma even, before her grandma, all the way back to look to the future. And so we're connecting all of those threads through the bridge of storytelling, which obviously connect all of us. And it doesn't matter if you're Native, it doesn't matter if you're Asian, it doesn't matter what you are. We all inherently need stories, and there's something in our DNA that resonates when someone is speaking a story.
You're listening to the episode The Storytellers on Voices of the Mat Su, featuring Demi Maharis and Casey Silver, the storytellers and creators of 80% Studios and the comic book series The Chickaloonies. Stay with us as we learn how comics are a lot more than cartoons.
I've heard a quote from an elder when I was at a gathering many years ago in Utah, and the elder said, "A dying culture has to work to preserve their stories, while a thriving culture creates new stories." And for me, that was a green light. In I felt that our stories, our Yani Da'a stories, my family's stories, they weren't just going to be preserved. We were going to create new stories. I always quote this, and I always write this when we sign books, and I hashtag it on our posts, is Chickaloon Punk Rock for Life.
Wait a minute. Chickaloon Punk Rock for Life? I'm lost. I mean, I can kind of do Newport, Rhode Island punk comics, but upbringing in Chickaloon in the punk world, I'm having a hard time connecting those dots.
I mean, I don't know if it's so much punk as in music. Punk rock, in a way, means, you know, doing things your own way.
Grandma was a rebel. You know my grandma, you know. My mom was a rebel. The tribe is very rebellious. You know, historically, you know, dealing with government. And I think it's just something kind of ingrained in us. And my grandma had this great quote, and I'll never forget it. I love it. It's when we were doing our drumming and dancing, I think one person had something to say about it. When we were little kids, you know, and we were like really scared and embarrassed to be out there drumming and dancing in front of audiences. And somebody had told her that we weren't doing the song or the dance properly. And she said, "We're from Chickaloon. We dance how we want." And that's been like my, you know, what's like my guiding light. That's my grandma quote.
Favorite thing is seeing Dimmy reconnect with his culture. So it's been so cool to see and learn about an entire kind of different way of looking at the world through his eyes, which has been really powerful. And seeing the impact that Mom and Grandma had here and being able to interact with people in that way has really changed me in just, I don't know, it's something where I feel that connection.
No, this is really kind of dedicated to the kids at the Yani Da'a school. Kids that I don't even know, you know, and they go to that school, but Grandma started that school for a reason. She wanted that, and it's still there to this day, and Mom would spend so many hours going there to sing songs with the kids and teach them how to do plays and tell stories. And I know that, you know, one thing is for certain, that whatever we do, we're going to try to give back to that school however we can. And, you know, this, a lot of Chickaloonies is kind of like dedicated to and inspired by the kids at that school, whatever generation they are. What would Grandma do? WWGD, you know? And it's led us, you know, to where we are now. Very respectfully, whatever we do, we kind of go, is this something that Grandma would be okay with? Is this something that Mom would be okay with? And then all the credit in the world to Mom, yep. Grandma, and also Melissa Shaganoff.
Melissa is a respected cultural bearer and a museum specialist in Alaska. In the Chickaloonies, she is the character Auntie Melissa.
She's kind of helped guide me through museum research, where we've gone to the Smithsonian, the Field Museum, where we're actually doing hands-on research, like holding and actually touching, you know, heritage pieces that have been locked up for 100-plus years, things that I never got to experience growing up that, you know, are of this land, of, you know, my ancestors. And so it's kind of through her, it's kind of reconnecting, like Casey said, with the culture, and we really appreciate her.
This is important to understand. The Chickaloonies, Yelly and Moji, aren't telling old stories simply set in a new world. For one thing, it wouldn't be right, and the other thing, it'd be just too easy. There's more to it than that.
We have a certain set of values that were taught to us by our parents, you know, and by grandma, and because of that, you make certain decisions based on values. And a lot of times, like Demi said before, the way that we do things isn't normally how you do it. Like, we wanted to be comic book artists or something, and the path that we took to go from a comic book artist to a storyteller was a what would grandma do moment. What would she see past what we're doing? What is the real benefit of what we're doing? You know, we're telling stories, and more than that, we're passing down knowledge through generations, just like she did.
I love that. Casey and Demi get joy in their job through teaching, and that's what they do. Think about it. In the first half of their book, they're sharing ancient learnings and values. In the second half, there's directions and blank pages to learn how to draw cartoons like Mr. Yelly and Sasquatch Emoji. They go one step further. They travel around the state and they give workshops, like the one where I met them at Wasilla Library.
It's May. We've been here all month on tour, and we've been fortunate enough to go to about 23 schools, over 4 school districts, and reach about 1,000 kids. And we just did, you know, a great 2-day workshop with teachers. And the joy is just kind of what you said, you know, reconnecting people with their culture, reconnecting creativity, seeing people who didn't think that they were artists realize that all of us are artists, that all of us are storytellers. And it wasn't until we gave back, it wasn't until we started teaching, did we complete the cycle of that intergenerational knowledge passing that began with his grandmother all the way to here. And the freedom that she gave him is what we try to gift to every single person that we meet, no matter who they are or no matter, you know, where they're from or anything. And we do that through our medium of magic, which is comic books.
Last year was their first year as featured storytellers at the Alaska State Fair at the Native Gathering Place. They really punked it, if that's a thing, and brought in live comic storytelling. It was Demi's idea in Demi's hometown.
As a kid that grew up here, I graduated from Palmer High, and the state fair is always magical to me. You know, being invited to be the featured storytellers there, for the first year, it was one of the funnest things I've ever got to do. We had a part of a cabin that we were allowed to decorate however we wanted, so we busted out cardboard and, you know, cut out life-size, you know, standees of both all of our characters. We had t-shirts made, stickers, and we really created an immersive environment. And then every day, you know, at a certain time, we got to go up on stage and tell our story to an audience. One thing that we both really share is that we've always wanted to be touring in a band. But you can't do that with comics, right? We've somehow found a way that comics has, like, offered us something, offered us a version of being touring in a band. We don't make comics. We work together. We go to, you know, band practice together. We get up on stage and share our stories. And it's just, I don't know, it feels kind of surreal that, you know, what I had always dreamed of as a kid, you know, obviously everybody dreams of these kind of things, being a comic book artist, being able to tour. Those two things don't fit together. And the universe somehow, and Chickaloonies and sharing stories, has kind of created this platform that we're able to, you know, share what we do with other people. And seeing kids, that's really what it is, doing, like, you know, the workshops and doing live storytelling and seeing kids, like, really understand what we're saying. And taking what we say, and you can see that they're going to take that creativity with them home, and it's going to last more than a day. It's going to last more than a week. I'm confident. And we've been practicing what we say, how we say it in our workshops. And this month, being able to do this over and over again throughout the month, it just feels right. Almost kind of like we know what we're talking about at this point.
Well, 80%.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Casey and Demi produce the Chickalonies totally digital on an iPad. It's a quicker pipeline than markers or paint. Deeper collaboration by passing the iPad back and forth, even remotely passing it back and forth. During the workshop at the Wasilla Library, I watched a video of Casey dressed up like Mr. Yelly bopping Demi, a.k.a. Moji, with a paper sword while they figured out the images and words for the Yanni Da'a in the New World on an iPad. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you. It looks way too much fun.
That's where the truth lies. And it's in that collaboration of words and pictures, just like our characters, that we've been able to really make a difference, not only in our lives, but the lives of others. My whole life wanted to give back to that tapestry of stories, because, you know, if one other kid who's in a small town, who's uncool, who has no friends, if we can make something that will help change their life, that's it. You know, that's all I need.
One word I ask to sum up the Chickalonies.
Coming together to collaborate to create a brighter future for all of us.
That's very good, and I knew you couldn't do one word.
Sorry. Collaboration. That would be it. Collaboration. That's what it means.
I said, get da. That's what Grandma used to say, if you were getting out of hand. She'd say that, you'd know to straighten up.
I've heard it more than once. The storytelling is like an obligation we have to the future. Without our stories, we can forget why we're here and who we are. It's like the worst thing. And the Chickalonies make sure that doesn't happen. With two unlikely friends and a dream coming together to tell stories, and a grandma. And that brings us right back to where we started. It's so true. Great stories come to those who can tell them. And that's it for today's episode with Voices of the Mat-Su. Copies of the Chickalonies graphic novels and more are available through 80%studios.com, and that's all one word, or email the number 80%studios@gmail.com, and they really do get right back to you. Demi and Casey are at the State Fair again this year. You can meet them at the gathering place every day. And yes, Grandma Katie Wade's legacy lives on in the Yanni Da'a School. 3 decades later, the school is alive and well, teaching traditional values and culture in Chickaloon. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit better. Special thanks to the Big Cabbage editorial board and sound editor Emma Keachley. Thanks for listening. Stay good out there, Mat-Su.
This was Voices of the Mat-Su, sharing stories told by those who live in the Mat-Su borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Mat-Su Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Mat-Su do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Mat-Su Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.